This teacher is getting a lot of pushback because she has a special section of her classroom that's been dedicated to one thing.
Okay.
And as a mom that has personal experience with this, I'm about to embarrass my kid.
When I was young, yes, it was absolutely embarrassing to fart in front of others. That is why we created the fart corner. But I took your advice and we added the gas station. So it's the gas station now, AKA the fart corner.
She dedicated a corner of her room to people who have gas, their students that have gas, and you could just go there, do your thing, spray a little spray, and then go back to your seat so you don't have to feel embarrassed.
You know, flatulence is a regular human occurrence.
Yes.
It happens all over the place to people of all ages, and there are times in kids' lives when they're very farty.
Yeah. I have this. Luckily, she's seven, so she will hopefully never understand that I'm talking about this.
Okay.
But Dakota, my little one.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know why she's getting pushback. Like, to me, it's like, this is something that kids are very embarrassed about.
Some of them think it's funny, hilarious, right?
All that. But she is part of a medical program right now where she has to consume an incredible amount of beans because she has severe food allergies. So in the morning, she eats black beans, kidney beans. At night, she eats pinto beans. It's all part of her program along with a lot of other foods. And this poor kid has gas.
I mean, it's like they say, right? She's kicking out methane.
Oh, yeah. It's It's a thing, right?
More noticeable than she was before she got on this bean regimen.
100%.
Okay,
imagine,
so it's not a myth.
Eating that much beans every single day and you're 7 years old.
Okay.
So last year at school, she was laughing and she couldn't leave the room like she would normally leave the room.
So it slipped out.
It slipped out.
Yeah.
And the two girls that she was talking to laughed at her and then told all the kids in the class.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it happens.
Do you know that? So, you know, we have Meet the Teacher coming up tomorrow, and I had to send the teacher an email explaining that this is a medical procedure thing that we're going through. We go to a special place. This is a problem, and that, and it's so embarrassing as a parent to have to say that. But I'm like, we could have alleviated all of this and having to let administration know by just putting a fart corner, the gas station, in the corner of the room.
Yeah, advocating for something like that. Listen, I mean, separation is funny. Like, Jaden does this too when he's going to the bathroom. You know, sometimes he wants to go on the potty, sometimes he doesn't. But if he's all of a sudden quiet and hiding, I know that he's having a movement.
Right. Right.
You know, and I know, two, three juice boxes in, like, that's what's going on there.
Yes.
He is embarrassed by the process.
Right. And it's a weird natural thing that we become embarrassed by it. Because like you said, and the same thing I said to Dakota and that we talked about with everybody, like, this is a natural thing that happens to people.
Yeah.
You don't have to be embarrassed, but you try to explain that to a room full of 7-year-old girls, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, you would always ask for a pass when you were in middle and high school to go to the bathroom. And that was just because you wanted to wander the school or the hallways.
Right.
I think that if you were going to a corner of the room, if there's not some sort of sound machine or whatever there, it is still a little bit embarrassing. Like, what? You go behind the fabric dividers and all of a sudden nobody's going to hear you?
You're right.
There should be a radio back there.
Yeah, there should definitely be a radio in that corner playing some soft humming jazz music.
No, I'd go with something a little bit louder.
Okay.
We need to mask this.
All right.
I'm singing.
The Week in Song, presented by Anna and Raven.
There's a lot of ways to get your news, but we've decided the best way to deliver it to you with a smile is to have producer John sing it.
All right, John, welcome back.
Thank you, guys. This is going to be a fun week. I'm excited about this. What's the most exciting thing happening right now? Tupac trial.
Oh, right.
Boom.
It's true. I mean, it's bringing it all back, right? All of a sudden, my son was like, I'm going to use Dear Mama at the wedding. I was like, perfect choice.
Really?
I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I mean, Alicia's going to be upset about that. But
no,
okay.
She loves it. She's happy, actually.
Okay. All right.
I like putting money in the mailbox.
Well, here's the thing. So you would think this would be the trial of the century. There's one particular problem that's holding that back.
Mm.
Trial of the century about to unfold, about a legendary cold case that's 30 years old. But nobody in the witness stand is saying a word. Snitches get stitches. Have you guys heard?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the video of one guy they pulled up there who just, like, yelled at the defense attorney? He was like, you guys made me be here. I'm not going to say anything.
Right. Every single one is like, we're not talking. We're not sending him to jail.
So it all hinges on one guy. The one guy is the ghostwriter of Dwayne Davis, the dude that they're accusing. It's the ghostwriter of his memoir.
Favorite was the guy that got up there and said, I don't even like that guy, but I'm not sending him to jail.
Yes. Yeah. That was the guy I watched.
Here's what's weird to me is, like, at this point, who is really waiting for this answer? And even if they convict somebody, will anybody believe it? Not me.
He apparently wasn't even the shooter here. That they're trying to prove he was just a guy in the car.
Who knew something, who did something, who whatever.
It's not OJ 2.0. Speaking of things that happened a long time ago, how about the VMAs? You guys seen the VMA nominations?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that season, right? Back to school time means the VMAs. And all the top nominees are ladies. The leader of the pack came out in 1983. Madonna is the top nominee. Oh, my.
Yeah.
All hail to the queen.
It's so weird.
It's very weird.
I could see her getting a couple nominations, but leading the nominations, Madonna, like, did anybody even listen to that last album?
I mean, like, it just kind of goes to show how much power she still has in the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Taylor Swift's up there. Olivia Rodrigo got some nods. And, you know, I mean,
Sabrina,
Bruno Mars did, too.
I mean,
like,
all those
wasn't all
sense.
Women, too.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, Madonna, 1983, self-titled debut.
There was a time where I wanted Madonna to be my mom. And that time has passed.
Yeah, dark time.
Right.
Dark time.
You, like, you know, have you seen Lourdes in the news recently? And you were like, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't.
Maybe
no.
not.
Yeah.
It's like everybody on that list, you've heard their song. Madonna, nobody's heard it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not all the news is fun and exciting and, you know, pop culture-y, right? Some of it is serious stuff, constitutional stuff, these flock cameras.
People are upset. They're mad. Fired up. The invasion of privacy.
Here's the thing. I can't, in good faith, 100% be against the flock cameras. Your Fourth Amendment rights might be violated. The flock cameras are almost universally hated. But I got their back. I say they get a gold star. Because one of them found my stolen car.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You guys remember when they stole my car?
I do remember that.
Was it a grandmother driving it?
It was a couple of years ago. They stole my car out of my parking garage. And then one of these license plate readers, I don't know that it was Flock, found a grandma, somebody's grandma driving it around town.
And wasn't it trashed?
Huh? No.
That was clean.
No,
oh.
That was the joke. When the police gave it back to me, it was cleaner than it had been in years. They detailed it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Apparently someone gave it to their grandma, so I guess you got to detail a car before you give it as a gift.
I mean, if you Peter Pan somebody's car, John, like, don't you, like, you're all right. You could keep the car. Keep the car and give it to your grandma. That's okay.
I mean,
it still has to go to work.
It smelled like illicit substances, but other than that, it's clean as a whistle.
Nice. Am I an accomplice?
You're complicit. If you see something and you don't report, then you're complicit. You're not an accomplice.
All right.
Unless an accomplice helps you bury it.
Yeah, I didn't do that. I just watched. All right. What did you see or do this week that was weird, out of the ordinary? You made it to Friday. That's great news. But there's always that one thing that sticks out amongst all the mundane other things you did, right?
Yeah. I was driving on the road yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I saw somebody that was mowing their lawn in slacks and a tank top. Now, the tank top's not the weird part, but the slacks, again, like, literally this person had clearly driven home, jumped right out of the vehicle and hopped right on the mower. And there was rain coming. There was a storm coming. So I kind of understood it. At the same time, I was like, dude, what would that have taken? 60 seconds?
Push mower or rider?
It was a rider.
Okay.
But, I mean, at the same time, like, and you know, I couldn't see whether or not he had the dress shoes. I was driving my vehicle. So to be safe for everybody in the neighborhood, I had to keep moving.
Raven, producer Sophia, producer Justin, let me ask you what you would have done in this situation. We were doing back-to-school shopping. We were at Target. A woman had a cart with her kids. She had three kids that she was running around with. And I saw another mom, not with anybody, go into that woman's cart when she wasn't looking and take a Minecraft backpack out of it.
Oh, that's dirty.
And that, like, is dirty.
And, like, just, she just took it. She, like, looked real quick, and then she walked off. And I'm like, oh.
She wanted that backpack.
She
was
that
after
backpack.
That backpack, and
it
was the last one.
Target, like, they were, it looked like they had
what
been
you
robbed.
Mean you get it. It was in somebody else's cart for somebody else's child.
Am I bad that I didn't say something? Like, well, what was I going to say? Put that back!
I mean, you could have just been like, that's dirty. Like, you could have said something to her.
I was kind of in shock by
or
the whole thing.
You say to the other mom, you're like, oh, I think somebody's in your carriage. You know, you could do that.
Oh, hey, is everything in this cart free? You say to her.
That's dirty, man.
She didn't buy it yet. So technically,
true,
it still belongs to the store.
Well, it's still violating the social contract. I mean, that is wrong.
It is dirty. You remember that time that I stole that air conditioner from that old man?
That wasn't nice. What if somebody told you and arrested you?
There was a heat wave going on. this gentleman, I saw him looking at there was only one in the entire store.
Yep.
And he looked at it and he's like, I don't know, maybe this would work. And he went to go, you know, ask his dear old wife, who they'd probably been together for 60 years.
And you took it.
And the second he turned around, I slapped that sucker on my cart and was gone.
Hell is going to be a wonderful place for you, Aiden.
he turned around like, what happened?
Sophia, how about you? Strangest thing you saw this week.
I was very confused. I was walking down the street. I was on a walk, not just walking down the street. And I saw a man walking his dog, and the dog's paw in the front and back had a black croc in the front and a white croc in the back. The right side had no shoes on, just the left side. And then the man walking the dog had a white and black croc on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Same size?
I don't think so, no.
Strange.
Yeah. I didn't know they made crocs for dogs.
Me either. Yeah. But I think you're supposed to put both either on the front or the back, and he only used the left side.
Well, maybe
that's where I was confused.
That is weird.
Maybe he was like off balance or something.
Could have been.
Strange.
Yeah. Maybe he had a boo-boo.
Yep. Yeah. Justin, weirdest thing you saw this week?
Coincidentally, also about shoes. I went shoe shopping for the first time, and I couldn't tell you how long.
Right.
And not your regular like department store. I'm just going to grab a pair of shoes off the shelf.
Justin doesn't normally wear shoes.
Yeah. But I went to a place that specializes in performance shoes. I want some like workout shoes.
Okay.
But they have this 3D foot mapping thing.
Yes.
I've never seen this before. So maybe it's just weird to me. But I stepped in the machine, and it's, I don't know, it's circular, and it's got lasers, and it's got a little motion thing. And all of a sudden, on the screen, there's a heat map of, like, all the pressure points on my feet and where the arches lie and where the heel pressure is. And I was just amazed.
Mm.
Never seen that before.
It's just a gimmick to get you to buy more expensive shoes.
The last time Justin bought shoes in 1987.
They didn't have that then.
That technology didn't exist.
They didn't have that then, right.
You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Strangest thing you saw this week. Congratulations, you did it. You made it to Friday. And usually, the week's pretty boring, right? You get up, you do the same thing every day, it's mundane. But there's always that one random thing that sticks out. What was it for you, the strangest thing you saw or did this week? 1-800-330-9999. Jackson?
I was in line at Chipotle getting some lunch. Dude in front of me, he ordered a burrito, and then he asks for extra onions and like on the side, right? And that's not super weird, but then the person hands him the onions. Dude put them straight in his pocket.
No.
That's weird.
Yeah. That's weird.
That's weird, man.
That's like when you know that it's somebody that's having a bad day, or, you know, there's other things wrong, but you don't know how it's hidden.
How do you know that? I mean, that could be any day.
Yeah.
That could just be a Tuesday for that person. You don't know. Maybe they like onions in their pocket.
That's like also something my 7-year-old would do.
The fajita veggies, man. Like, when you got a couple left over, you throw them in the trash, you got to take that trash bag out, because within 24 hours, your whole house smells of onions.
Well, imagine if you put it in your pocket.
Ripe.
Put it right in your pocket.
Bad idea.
What are you going to do with those pants?
Destroy your washer, I'm guessing.
That is weird. Erica, how about you? What's the strangest thing you saw this week?
The strangest thing I saw this week was, while driving, I noticed that the driver next to me had their feet hanging out the door.
They do that.
I've seen this.
I saw a woman that was driving. You know, when they have like the foot up.
The left foot.
Yeah.
They got it out the window.
She was sitting like with her knee. She was must have been very tall, because her knee was hanging out the window, but it was like tucked underneath her bottom, her foot. So I was like,
that's weird.
What kind of yoga thing is that you're doing? Like, you're like a Pilates masterclass while you're driving a car.
She must be like 6'7".
Right.
Inside that car is what I'm guessing.
All
using some of that smart
knee.
Cruise.
And she was like propped up, like she was sitting on a foot with her knee out the window.
You know, if you see that when you're like driving next to that person, do you speed up or slow down? Do you want to be behind them or in front of them?
I want to go around them quickly and speed off.
Okay.
Bethany, strangest thing you saw this week or did?
I went to get coffee at this coffee shop, and the tables where the people were sitting were like two levels. It was really weird. I guess it's like a Japanese style of having tables on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, there's tables on top of tables?
Yeah, they're like, there's you're talking about like when they're sunken, right? You go in and you like sit in a sunken table?
No.
No? Wait, hold on. What do you have?
Two levels. There was tables on the bottom, and then there were these tiny little stairs. And you go to the tables on the top, too.
That's weird.
Oh, I don't even know where you are, but
I'm
curious.
Seems scary.
I would like you to send me a picture of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Seems scary, actually.
I'm having a hard time picturing it. Some Japanese restaurants, they have where you go, or Thai restaurants, like it's sunken. Like it's, I don't know, part of culture or something.
Yeah, I mean, I have that in my living room.
No, but it's like an actual, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like, it's a table built into the ground. I don't know.
Wait a minute. I'm looking at it. Tables on tables in Japanese restaurant. If you Google it, it comes up. Yeah. And then your feet like hang inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, cool. But also weird because I'm wondering, is there a monster that's going to eat my feet?
This is exactly what I was talking about.
Well, you don't know how to describe it. The way you did it was dumb, and the way she did it made much more sense.
Okay. Do you believe in aliens, and do you want to know if aliens exist? This is a scientist who's come forward.
My name is Dr. Eric Davis. I'm an astrophysicist and a chief scientist in the U.S. defense intelligence industry.
All right, so he's pretty legit, right? You know, works for the Pentagon.
He's got more education than the two of us.
Right, and I assume that if he's stating that, he really is. He's not lying. Sometimes I always say, like, how do you know it's not just a crazy person that's just getting up there?
Printed
like,
their own diploma.
Hello, I am former president of the United States in a zap, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even understand why you would do this.
I've seen classified and proprietary defense intelligence industry evidence that the American public and the world have a right to see. That included photographs and documentation of retrieved craft and alien bodies, but I'm prevented from publicly sharing this evidence because of the threat to my security clearances, employment, and the potential for civil or criminal penalties.
A belief is the reason, Anna, is that you believe that this information is not for anybody to withhold from anybody else. I mean, us as a human race. Listen, someday when the aliens arrive, everybody's going to see it for themselves, right? And then that will change the human race forever. That would be the belief of most people that believe in aliens. If you don't, then obviously that's up to you. Mathematically, it seems pretty crazy to think that in this whole grand universe, we would be the only life forms that are out there. Doesn't that seem crazy? It seems a little bit self-centered, a little bit, you know.
I liked it when I just thought aliens were fake.
Yeah.
I really did. I want to read you a paragraph from this article that to me sounds absolutely terrifying.
Go.
Because in my head, if aliens are real, I want them to be kind like me. And they want them to, you know, they're best friends coming to visit.
They're not interested in us for the most part.
How do you know?
Because if they were, they'd already be doing something about it.
Why can't they be like us? Okay. He specifically mentioned alien races known as the Greys.
Yes.
The Nordics.
Yep.
A race of insectoids, which look like human-sized praying mantis.
Okay.
And a species called the Reptilians due to their humanoid lizard-like appearance. What?
Yeah.
What?
Well, the Greys are the popular one. That's the one that you see that's, you know, large head, big eyes, you know, gray skin, that kind of thing. They can be slender. They can be tall. They can be small. They can be large.
The humanoid lizard-like experience?
Yeah.
Appearance? What?
Anything's possible, man.
The human-sized praying mantis? They're already big. They're already too big for my liking.
Yeah. Well, that's Starship Troopers, basically, that type of stuff. I mean, listen, we'll see. At some point, we're all going to know. I just don't know whether or not it's going to be in our lifetime.
What happens when my daughter brings home her new best friend, the praying mantis alien?
I think you should be friendly.
I will.
And offer something to eat, even if that means your other daughter.
I remember my mom calling it the baby blues when it happened to me, and I wasn't prepared for all the emotions that go along with it. And in the last week, I feel like we keep hearing a lot about postpartum depression, psychosis, the baby blues, and how it's affected so many people that are in the news right now, including the loss of Hayden Panettiere and the trial of Lindsay Clancy. Joining us is Dr. Shoshana Bennett. You can find her online at drshosh.com, drshosh.com. She's a clinical psychologist and she's a leading mental health expert. This is what you do, perinatal mental health.
That is what I do every day. And, you know, this came from my personal experience. So I know what it feels like from the inside to be really devastated and not to know where to go, what was happening with me.
Doctor, I'm just going to be real with you. As a guy, like, I mean, there's plenty of times that I can't pick up on the vibe or the mood or exactly what my wife is trying to communicate to me. So what are the signs we should be looking for with this?
You know, I'd like to differentiate, if I may, between the blues, postpartum depression, and postpartum psychosis.
Yes,
may I?
Yeah, please
absolutely
do.
Okay. Blues is normal. We expect expect that. Most new moms have the blues. These are mild symptoms, mild ups and downs, and they should be gone by about 2, maybe 3 weeks postpartum. Postpartum depression, which could happen immediately, as it did in my case, this is the most common complication of childbearing. We're talking 1 in 7, about 15% of new moms. And I don't want anybody to be afraid of this. This is 100% treatable. What you're looking for with postpartum depression is a decrease in appetite, is having difficulty sleeping at nighttime, even when she's got the ability, be obsessing, unable to let go of worries. She might be angry. These symptoms get in the way of her daily life. She's not going to be interested in doing the things she used to be interested in.
It's a tough thing when you're going through it because you don't even realize that you're going through it. You just don't know what's wrong with you because you're supposed to be so happy. I remember I felt so guilty that I had no connection to my baby when she was born. It was like a stranger. And I always thought, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have that instant bond with my baby like everybody talks about? And it's so funny because when I meet a new mom and they ask for advice, I say, don't get upset if you don't have that immediate bond. And then when I had my second daughter years later, I had that instantaneous bond. And I'm like, oh, that's what people are talking about.
Bonding is a process that happens over time. You know, we're not geese. You know, I mean, it's not like imprinting where immediately baby pops out and we're instantly bonded. So it's a process.
But psychosis is different than all this.
Postpartum psychosis is very rare, 1 to 2 per 1,000. Women, when it happens, yes, it is a medical emergency. And yes, suicide is the biggest risk, when women are just feeling hopeless. But these are completely different disorders. Postpartum psychosis very rarely happens. And that woman is hallucinating. So I really wanted to set that apart from our main topic of postpartum depression.
All right, doctor. So if you suspect something is wrong, what should you do? Where can you get help?
You can certainly go to Postpartum Support International, which is postpartum.net. You can go to my website. You reach out to a specialist. You help her. Yes, you ask her, has she spoken with anybody? Does she have a specialist? Would she like some help finding somebody? Because often when somebody is in that state, they don't have the wherewithal to make that call. Most women, when they get that a really good plan of action to get well, they do great.
To hear more of our conversation with Dr. Shoshana Bennett, head to our podcast page at annonraven.com. Coming up later on the show, we're going to speak with Dr. Fury. You're going to hear about the Lindsay Clancy trial and how experts are learning how to treat perinatal mental health.
They could be hot. They could be cold. Anna and Raven play Am I Close?
We were so close! So close.
Am I close? You think you know about things that surround you in life, but do you really? Producer Justin, what are we talking about today?
It is back to school season, which means new clothes, new haircuts, and new school supplies.
Woo!
You know, it's funny, even as an adult, and I don't have any young children that I have to get ready for school or whatever, when he says it's back to school time, I get depressed still. Strange to me.
Not all school supplies are new. Some of them have been around forever, including our old friend, the number 2 pencil.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I always think it's funny that they still use pencils, but yes.
You always need a pencil for certain applications, but why a number 2? What is a number 2 pencil?
All right, 30 seconds on the clock. Here's how it works. Raven and I each have 30 seconds to explain to you, probably incorrectly, what a number 2 means for pencils, and then we'll find out. Are we close? Raven, on your mark, get set, go.
I think it probably has to do something with the mixture of the graphite and the, but is there lead left in pencils anymore at this point? I don't really know. Whatever the mixture is in the middle of that pencil, it has to do with the hardness of when you're actually writing or drawing or whatever. Because I know that when you're drawing, there are different numbers for different types of pencils. But at school, based on the fact that you want a nice sharp point and that you want to be able to fill things in precisely, they go with number 2 because it's like the perfect
time.
Mix.
Okay. 30 seconds on the clock for me. Mark, is that go myself? Back in the day, medieval times, cavemen really, they didn't have number 2 pencils. What they had was sticks. Mm-hmm. So they would get a stick and they would just kind of draw on the ground, and that's how they would write things. And they realized, if we take these sticks and sharpen the ends, then it gives us a point. And then what they realized was that if you got whatever makes up the lead that goes inside.
Graphite. Graphite.
Sure. Then that would make it even more evitable. And that's how we got number two pencils, because number one sucked.
Did you say evitable or edible?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I said it, all right.
Inevitable.
Well, am I close? Are we close?
Yeah, who's close?
Anna, I liked your story way better. I was picturing them also putting the tip of that stick into a fire to get that little ash on there.
Yeah.
But Raven, you sound like a pencil producer. You sound like an expert. That is really, really close. You're dead on.
Look at me.
Wait, what?
I'm good. It's all about the mixture.
It's all about the mixture. Graphite and clay. So they haven't used lead in pencils probably forever. I think that's just kind of a misnomer.
Probably
it's been
a
good graphite.
Idea.
And the number system is based on the balance between the mixture of the graphite and the clay in there. The higher the number, the higher the clay content, which means it's a lighter, softer pencil tip. So for some applications like drafting or anything where you have like fine graph paperwork or anything like that, you want a higher number pencil so you leave fewer marks. Mm. And the lower the number, the darker, heavier it is, but the less it's going to smudge. The number two is for school purposes, the one for standardized testings, your Scantrons and all that, because it leaves you the darkest mark with less smudging than any other pencil.
Okay, I want to just say that Ticonderoga is the Mercedes of all pencils. And how come I've never seen a different number besides number two?
Well,
except on mini golf courses, because they don't write number two on those pencils, so we don't know what number they are. It's the only other time I ever see a pencil in the wild anymore.
Two reasons that I knew that there was a difference in the pencils. Number one, I actually was in drafting for a while and considered being an architect. And number two, because I once drew Kate Winslet, like one of my French girls, wearing this. And only this.
Is that a Titanic reference?
And now, Anna and Raven's middle schooler news.
Every week, another middle schooler joins us to share the three biggest news stories. Hannah, how are you today?
Good.
Hannah, where are you from and where do you go to school?
I'm from Portland, Oregon, and I go to Five Oaks Middle School.
What grade are you going into?
Eight.
When's first day?
The 26th.
Are you excited or sad? Be honest.
Sad.
No! Yeah. You're going to have so much fun. You're going to have a wonderful school year. Do you want to say hello to any of your friends or your family or your teachers or anybody?
No.
Okay. How about your mom? Is that your mom standing right there next to you?
Hi, Mom.
All right, go ahead. Give us those three stories of the week.
Two teens have been awarded $275,000 each after being trapped upside down on the Atmosphere ride at Oaks Park in 2024. In case you were wondering, the ride is still there, and yes, I have been on it this summer.
I mean, I don't know, stuck up in the air, right? Upside down, all that time, you're hundreds of feet up, $275,000, almost a bargain.
If somebody was going to offer to pay you $275,000, how long would you hang upside down on it?
Like, maybe 15 minutes?
No.
I don't...
The answer is a lot longer. No, how long can you be upside down on a ride before all the blood rushes to your head?
Well, I mean, I think that as soon as you're upside down for like 60 seconds, the blood's made a pretty good move at that point, right? Fire and rescue is on its way. You know, anything after, I'm going to be in there complaining about my trauma, right? Like, that's what I want my lawyers pitching for, is I'm going to be terrified that entire time and feel like my life is coming to an end. So 275 sounds like a whole lot of money when you're stuck. On the other hand, if you were the one stuck up there, I don't think so much.
You know what, Hannah? When you said 15 minutes, I'm like, definitely longer. But now that I think about it, you're probably right. That's like the most amount of time you could do it, right?
That's enough. I mean, imagine that, though. All these rides we hear about getting locked up. If you had to pay every person in every seat that kind of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah. How long does that ride stay in business? How long does it stay operational for? I don't know.
All right. Go ahead, Hannah. Story number two.
NFL starts back up on September 9th, the day after my birthday. Super Bowl chance, the Seahawks are taking on the Patriots. Should be a great game.
Well, happy birthday. What are you doing for your birthday?
Oh, I'm going to the fair for my birthday.
Oh, that's great. What's your favorite fair food?
Popcorn.
Oh, yeah. All right. And the third story. Go ahead, Hannah.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have announced they will be moving back to the UK. So their two kids, Prince Archie and Princess Lilibet, can now attend school in the UK.
it's crazy to me that they were just like, we've given up on America. We can't make it here. Americans have said we don't want you. So we're going back to the UK after we said they didn't want to live there anymore.
Let me ask you, I mean, if you, you know, because every time that your kids go to school, right, especially when they're the new kid, sooner or later, there's some conflict, right? So little Archie goes to school and let's say your kid is the one that doesn't like Archie or says, comes home and goes, Ma, he's a brat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he tries to take all my toys and he tries to push me around and he told me one day he's going to be king or something like that. How do you handle that, you think?
You remind him that he's not going to be king because that he's not in line directly to be king. Terrible things would have to happen for Archie to be king.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess that knocks him back down a couple pegs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And when you see Meghan and Prince Harry in the pickup line, you can do the same thing to them, I guess?
Right. You're like, you're never going to be queen, Meghan.
Right, right.
Never going to be queen.
Right, right.
Kate's got that.
Enjoy your, you know, clothes and all that and those conversations you had with Oprah, because around here you ain't nothing.
Hope you can sell your jam.
I heard they're giving it away.
Yeah, they're giving it away. They can't sell it. All right, Hannah, you were a wonderful middle schooler of the week. Thank you so much for taking the time. We hope you have a great school year.
Thank you.
If you have a middle schooler that would like to join us and be our middle schooler of the week, sign them up at annaandraven.com.
Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Oh, Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad, or if you just want to vent about your neighbors or your coworkers that are driving you nuts, this is your chance to get it off your chest. You made it to Friday. And what did you accomplish this week that you have earned your margarita or whatever fills your cup? 1-800-330-9999. Castle.
Do you ever have a really good weekend and you're like, I really don't want to deal with work whatsoever because of how good this past weekend was?
Yes, of course.
Me. I had a really good weekend, the best I've probably had in months, and when the weekend was over, I had to go back to work, and I was like, I don't want to do any of this.
But you survived it. You made it through another week.
I made it through another week, that's right. And at the end of August, my good weekend is coming back.
So, what made your good weekend so great? Did you fall in love? Did you meet somebody? Did you, what happened?
One of my friends, he drove down for the weekend last week, and we just had the best weekend, just me, him, and my partner.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's nice to have a reunion with some friends, remind you what it is you're doing and why you're doing it. Are they coming back at the end of the month?
They are.
Well, enjoy, man. And you made it. You did all the hard things this week, so you enjoy yourself a margarita today.
Oh, I will.
Natalie, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I went to the dermatologist. I know, you might not think it's a big deal, but she just has a way of making me insecure about things I wasn't insecure about. It's a very humbling experience.
She scrape anything off you or just tell you that they got to keep an eye on a bunch of things?
Yeah, well, I have cherry angiomas, and she told me she could remove them for, you know, a fee, of course.
Yeah, a gazillion
dollars. She got rid of two, and then... Now that she got rid of those, I'm noticing them all over my body. So now I feel compelled to hire her to get rid of the rest.
Right.
Okay. Well, I give you a margarita for all your heartache. I'm sorry. You know, the dermatologist is the one place where I go. You know, like they do the skin checks and they remove the stuff.
Yes.
Where they say, like, this is going to hurt. And I don't want to jinx it, but it never hurts.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know if they have better needles or what it is, but I don't know.
With me, they tell me it can all still stay there.
Oh, that's good.
They're like, that doesn't have to come off. I'm like, really? They're like, well, no, it doesn't have to come off. I'm like, well, what if I wanted it to come off? You know, those kind of things.
Then they'll cut it off for you. If I say, like, yeah, can you get rid of that? My girl's like, yeah, I don't know what she does. She's mad. She loves to cut things off my body.
Mine's in a rush. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Just cut it off.
One day we're going to walk out and be missing an arm. You're like, Anna, where's your arm? Like, I had the dermatologist cut it off just in case. I
had to go.
Enjoy your margarita.
Thank you.
Cassidy, what did you do to earn your margarita this week?
It doesn't sound like it was that big of a chore, but basically I had to go to two weddings in two different states in 2 days.
Oh,
no, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That is a whole lot. I would have told one of them.
Thank you.
No way.
I'm glad I'm getting the recognition. Yeah. Thank you. Because, of course, it was fun, and I'd do it again, but it was exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need a helicopter. Mm. What are you doing?
Exactly.
I hate when that happens, when two fun things are back-to-back. It's like then you don't have that time to get excited for the next one, and the whole time you're stressing about the logistics of being able to do it all. So I give you a lot of
credit.
Exactly. Yeah, I know how that feels.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like I want to just live in the moment while I'm there, but it feels really hard when I'm, you know, checking into my flight while I'm at the cocktail hour for the first wedding. You know what I mean?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And you're constantly stressed that you're not going to make it. Something's going to happen. You're going to be late. Yep. No, I know the feeling very, very well. I give you a lot of credit. Enjoy that margarita. Well deserved.
Thank you. And I will.
All you keep hearing about is the Lindsey Clancy trial. Everyone seems very polarized on what they think happened. There's conspiracy theories, but at the heart of it, this is a story about a woman that asked for help and she kept getting turned away. Dr. Katrina Fury, she's a Yale-trained, board-certified psychiatrist.
Doctor, I'm hoping you can clarify some of this speculation that's going on around this trial, because it's out of control.
What's right? What's wrong? Was the husband in on it? Was he not in on it? Why did everybody fail her?
Gosh, I wish I knew. I can't comment on anyone I haven't evaluated directly, but I think we can all agree that maternal mental health conditions need a whole lot more attention. And they're actually a lot more common than anyone would realize. So postpartum depression can affect up to 10 to 15% of new mothers. Whether there's a conspiracy or not, I think the most important thing to remember is that sadly these conditions are very common. Most of the time they do not end in tragedy.
Lindsey Clancy, this story is obviously everywhere, but there are similar stories that I've seen over the last few years, and it seems like there's a whole lot more prevalence going on here.
I would totally agree. Again, these conditions are incredibly common. There's so much stigma about mental health in general, and I would argue specifically women's mental health, maternal mental health, that I think it keeps a lot of women suffering in silence.
So we discussed this earlier because I had what my mom labeled at the time was the baby blues. Mm-hmm. I had a C-section. I was very sick after I gave birth. I had postpartum eclampsia.
Mm.
It was tough. I had no connection with the baby, and I was like, Ma, you got to come help me. And I was lucky enough that that's exactly what they did. My husband and my mom didn't leave. I realized that something was wrong. How did nobody realize anything was wrong, or did they just ignore it?
If we're talking about Lindsey Clancy, it does sound like she had supportive family. But you're exactly right. The baby blues are incredibly common in the postpartum period, and we don't consider that pathological, which means we don't think that anyone needs treatment for that. What I always tell people is that it's not your job, you being, you know, the new mother or her partner or her family member, to figure out what's going on. Your job is to just make sure that she gets connected to a professional who can do that part.
So if I'm picking up on these signs from a casual friend or my partner, like it's time for me to take action. But that action really includes, like, here's a doctor. We need to talk to this person.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So some of the important early signs to watch for: change in mood. Usually we think of depression in general as a really kind of like boohoo sadness. And sometimes we see that with postpartum depression. You know, you're crying more easily. You're feeling really bad about yourself. You're feeling like the worst mother in the world. But postpartum depression also tends to have this irritable edge to it. It's really about the frequency and the intensity of that irritability that should sort of spark concern. And then the other things we see that go along with it would be any trouble sleeping. If you're up worrying, or if you can't sleep, if you feel like you don't need as much sleep and you're functioning great, all of those things are concerning. And then, of course, if you have any thoughts of hurting yourself or harming someone else, that is a big red flag.
Dr. Fury, I know that you have a website where you train other professionals on how to spot the warning signs and train them. Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're making advances in this so more cases like this don't happen?
Yes, we are. You'll be shocked to know that the accreditation bodies that determine exactly what psychiatrists need to have mastered by the time they graduate residency, as well as other fields like OBGYNs, emergency physicians, pediatrics, all the fields, there's actually no requirement to teach anything about women's mental health in any of those disciplines.
Great.
As of right now, which is wild to me, right? Because no matter what, you're going to be treating women. We're going to see women in pregnancy.
To hear our full interview with Dr. Fury, head to our podcast page at annonraven.com. And to learn more about Dr. Fury, follow her on Instagram at Dr. Katrina Fury.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then your job is just to figure out who you think is right. The Couples Court is powered by Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses. Learn more at gusto.com/radio. Cheryl and Mike Cheryl, what's going on?
My husband, he won't go to the doctor no matter what. I make him appointments, he won't go. And he hasn't been in like 15 years. He's overweight. He has a chronic cough. He coughs all the time. It ruins shows, everything. Whatever we're doing, he's coughing. But he says it's a waste of money, and we do have really bad insurance, but he should at least get his regular checkup, you know?
Okay. Are you afraid of the doctor, Mike? Is that the problem?
No, it's not that, you know, I'm afraid of the doctor. I mean, I just, it's a waste of money. It's we know healthcare is a scam, you know? Look at all these other countries around here. I don't have to pay for insurance. They're doing fine. I mean, if I'm dying from a heart attack, you know, take me to the ER. But other than that, in the Advil, you know, some rest, I'll be all right.
I mean, it sounds like there's a noticeable cough or something going on in the throat right now at this point, Mike. I mean, I hate to be obvious, but a lot of people would want to clear that up without being able to move to Indonesia or someplace else where they might have universal health care.
Yeah, but sometimes coughs just go away after a while.
Yeah, but I
mean, they last like a while. They linger.
They linger. Right?
I don't know. I'm not making excuses, but I do understand where you're coming from because I have the friends that every single time a single thing is a little bit off, they're running to their doctor. And I'm like, man, that is a $40 copay. And then I got to fight my insurance and all the things. So I understand not wanting to go for minor things, but having gone to the doctor in 15 years and you have a persistent cough, I don't. Why wouldn't you just go? Your insurance doesn't cover it at all?
I mean, listen, my insurance is going to make me pay more than what I have to pay for some cough medicine, you know, or getting a pot of tea boiled, you know what I mean? So I'd rather have a hottie toddy than to go to old Docty Docty, you know?
I like that. He's proud of himself for coming up with that.
It's not the first time you said that or made that explanation. And there's a reason for that, too, I'm guessing, though, is because most people, when they hear you say that, go, really? I don't know, right? So, I mean, this is a story that I'm guessing you've been over before, Mike.
I mean, listen, people ask me all the time about it, but hey, man, we all got to die at some point, you know? That's just inevitable, right? So
if we could skip
that, let me live my life, and I'd rather pay, you know what I mean?
Mike, how old are you?
That's things I'd rather enjoy. Excuse me?
How old are you?
I'm 41.
And you're a young guy.
Well, that's why he doesn't need to go to the doctor, because he's still young. Until, I don't know. Would you agree with Mike? Do you think that it's necessary to go for the every year checkup if you feel fine, you're all right, you're getting by, you know it's going to cost you a lot of money?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Every family has one. The one member that doesn't believe in going to the doctor.
I'm fine.
I don't need to go to the doctor. Our insurance stinks. I don't want to spend money out of pocket. They're going to send me for testing. It's going to cost more money. Everything is fine. I'm fine.
That's like three people in my family. And when you talk to them, it's nuts. On the other hand, sometimes talking to these people, listen, I've had a few surgeries in my life, Anna. One or two of them could have been done in my garage, quite possibly.
I brought my daughter to an appointment the other day where I walked out and I was like, that was a waste of time and a waste of money.
But you walk in, you're there for 5 minutes. They basically just do a little data entry and then you're leaving.
I mean, it happens. So that's what's going on with Cheryl and Mike. Mike's had a chronic cough. He's 41 years old. He's a little bit overweight, but he says, I'm fine and I'm not doing this. It's all a scam. But his wife Cheryl is like, just go to the doctor. Yeah. Let's make sure you're not dying.
I mean, you've had this chronic cough forever. We can't sit through a television show, a program, anywhere we go. You know, it's in every sentence. I mean, we heard it while talking with Mike there. It's consistent. It's going on. She says, why don't you just find out?
It'll go away. That's my favorite. It'll go away. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven, what do you think?
How you doing? I'm in complete agreements with the 41-year-old guy. You know, when you go to the doctors, you know, doctors, the hospitals, that's where they take you to die. You know, and the health insurance is an absolute scam. It is. It's a ripoff. I don't even have health insurance. Try to eat healthy, do the right thing, and you'll be much better off.
You know what? My stepfather's dad used to always say that you go to the hospital to die. That's what he would say. And it's a thing that some people still say to this day.
Right.
Thank you for the call.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. He doesn't want to go to the doctor. Can you force him? Oh, How many families have that one person in it that they don't go to the doctor, they don't believe in going to the doctor, they're fine, they're not spending the money, the insurance sucks, it's going to cost so much, they're going to get better. That's what's going on with Cheryl and Mike. Mike's 41 years old, he's had a chronic cough, he's a little bit overweight, and Cheryl says he needs to go to the doctor and he refuses.
You know, I'm not a psychologist, but there is a part of the human psyche I'm aware of that basically if you don't lend any credence to something, any power to something, right, then you don't believe it's actually happening. So if you think that there might be a major problem, but you never address it or look into it or whatever, you're like, it's not affecting my life.
Yep.
It's not actually bothering me. On the other hand, when you find out that there's a major problem, what does the doctor say? Early detection, right, and prevention, those things make a difference.
It's like me going to the eye doctor. I know I can't see anymore, but I refuse to go because I don't want to deal with it.
Right. They keep canceling my appointments anyway, so what am I going
to
do?
What do you think? Whose side are you on? Can you make somebody go to the doctor? 1-800-330-9999. Elizabeth.
I am on the wife's side. The man needs to go to the doctor. My husband refused to go to the doctor, and he died. And my children came home and found him.
Oh.
Yeah.
So therefore, sorry, Elizabeth. Now they have PTSD.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's why that man needs to go to the doctor right away.
Thank you for the call, Elizabeth.
He's too young.
You're right. He's 41. Thank you for the call. Robin, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on her side. I work in the medical field. And medical field, not a scam. If something's overcharged, maybe. But you know what? He should go find out what it is. One time isn't gonna be a big deal. But she's right. I mean, she cares about her husband. Apparently, he doesn't really care about her.
Thanks for the call. Have a great day.
It's just everybody thinks they're invincible.
Well,
that's the thing.
Until you find out you're not. Nick, what do you say? Whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. So that guy sounds like he's, you know, with a cough, like sounds like he's dying already. Might as well just go to the doctor, check up. Money comes and goes. So, but health, you know, you have to take care of the health.
It's true.
Hey, what do you think about this, LaToya? Whose side are you on? I mean, is that even a question?
I'm on the wife's side. I think the husband needs to go to the doctor. I think he's afraid of what it could be. And I think it's easier to nip it in the bud sooner rather than later. And when you talk about insurance, most insurance cover preventative care. So one physical a year is covered.
I mean, having this argument with people over and over again in my life, just it seems crazy, but it's a real thing.
Yep. Some people just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with it. One more thing on their list of things to do.
But if you have kids, I feel like it's unfair. Like you're gambling with your life. That's not fair to anybody else.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Cheryl, our audience agreed with you. Mike, you sound irresponsible. And that was the big thing that we kept hearing over and over again. If you want to be there for your family and you want to be able to continue providing for them and be an important part of your family, you need to be alive. So going to see a doctor periodically is very important, and everyone seemed to agree that.
Hey, listen, I was just going to say, listen, I got life insurance through the job, so I think we'll be okay.
Well, I mean, you might not be, but, you know.
Everybody else will.
Hopefully everybody else would be, right. But, I mean, I think overall they would rather have you here. But obviously you heard the votes. That's that. Carol, good luck. I mean, some people, they're just, you know, they're not the types that go all the time.
I'll keep trying, though.
Yeah, I mean, the audience agreed with you. I think you just have somebody who's stubborn, and I think the people that are stubborn about going to the doctor, that's just the way they are, and you kind of have to accept them for what they are.
Good luck.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email at couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$2,100 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Dawn, you ready to play?
Yes, I am.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Dawn. $2,100. Here we go.
All right, Dawn. Raven is walking out of this studio. When that big door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. How it works is I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in. He gets the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, but ties do go to Raven, okay?
Okay.
All right. Remember, if you're not sure, just guess. It's the best advice I can give. First thing that pops into your head, right? All right. Number one, Jenna Fischer says that she knew she couldn't be on TV anymore because it was too time consuming and she needed to be there for her kids. She famously played Pam Beasley on what sitcom?
The Office.
Number two, new cards were revealed for Pokemon's 30th anniversary set and might feature the rarest Mew ever. What type of Pokemon is Pikachu?
Electric.
Number three, on-screen couples who hated each other in real life include Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams in The Notebook and Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey in what movie?
Dirty Dancing.
Number four, The Odyssey just became the highest-grossing R-rated movie of all time. It surpasses Deadpool and Wolverine. What is the name of Odysseus' wife?
Ooh, Samantha.
At number five, Dane Cook's brother stole $12 million from him as his manager and hid the cash in a pasta jar. What brand of jarred sauce used the slogan, "That's Italian"?
Oh, that's Italian.
That's time. All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Dawn.
Not great, not terrible. Let's go.
Number one, Jenna Fisher says she knew she couldn't be on TV anymore because it was too time-consuming and she needed to be there for her kids.
I mean, plus she was also buku rich at that point.
It's true. She famously played Pam Beasley on what sitcom?
The Office.
Yes. Number two, new cards were revealed for Pokemon's 30th anniversary set that might feature the rarest Mew ever.
Okay.
What type of Pokemon is Pikachu?
I don't know. It's a little yellow detective thing, right? Like,
he's electric. He's electric. All right. Oh, all of a sudden, Dawn, you got a shot. Number three, on-screen couples who hated each other in real life include Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams in The Notebook and Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey in what movie?
That would be Dirty Dancing.
Correct.
Also hated him on the set of Red Dawn. Thought he was too butch.
Number
four.
He's
very butch in that movie.
The Odyssey just became the highest-grossing R-rated movie of all time. It surpasses Deadpool and Wolverine.
Okay.
What is the name of Odysseus' wife?
Penelope.
Penelope is correct.
Yeah.
And she is the queen of where?
Troy? No. I don't know.
Ithaca. Number five. Dane Cook's brother stole $12 million from him as his manager and hid the cash in a pasta jar of sauce.
It's crazy. I mean, hid some cash in a pasta
jar. What if he put all $12 million in one jar of sauce?
That would be a heck of a jar of sauce.
What brand of jarred sauce used the slogan, "That's Italian"?
Gosh, I have no, I'm just going to take a shot and say Prego.
No, Ragu.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry, Dawn. You guys tied today at 3. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
That was close. Good
that
news.
Was close.
Okay, that was close.
Yeah, it was.
My name is Dawn, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,200
Thank
Monday,
you.
Anna.
I knew I should have asked what Penelope was the queen of. I knew it.